Christian maturity happens in community. And as a community, we often lose focus of what our priorities should be. God reminds us often in Scripture what they are, and Pastor Tim reminds us this morning. Thank you for joining us.
I'd like to share this with you. Crystal came up today, and she said, I need to be saved. And right down here doing the time of laying on hands, she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Crystal, will you mind standing? You can be seated. Y'all, I pray for her. Will y'all do that? Y'all, I keep saying that God is still saving, and God is still changing lives. And I'm thankful for that today. I hope you're thankful for that today. Well, as I peruse, I like using that word because it makes you sound like I'm smart. As I peruse church websites, and I look and see what is going on in these different churches, I'm amazed at the richness of these of churches. You know, our own church even looks that way on the website. You know, how good it looks and how just rich that it looks. You know, this question here today is how does the church live or find its place in the United States of America? I tell, I pastor often. I was a youth pastor back in the mid-90s, and I thought youth ministry was hard then. I'm happy that I'm here and he's doing youth ministry, you know? You know, we have to find our a place, and he loves it. Don't get me wrong, he loves it. If the Lord told me I had to go to youth ministry again, I would quit and run. And not kidding, I would do it, but I would just hit him on it. Kidding. No, I'm not. But we have to find our place as a church in a land that is wealthy, in a land that is really flowing with milk and honey as the Israelites they were given. You know, people want to come to America. They will die trying to come to America because we're so wealthy. We're so rich. And some of you might say, and I'm really not. Well, we say that we're not because we compare ourselves to one another here in United States of America. We compare ourselves to someone that seemingly has a lot. But if you go outside of these borders where I've gone in some places, two different countries, every single one of us here, don't matter what your bank account says, you are wealthy. You are wealthy. And so as a church, you know, we have to find where we belong within all this wealth and everything that we need. I very seldom run into anyone that is lacking in need for food and for shelter. We have a soup kitchen that we run into some folks that need help. They need to be lifted up. But it's not often within our church pews that we find individuals that really have some really fundamental needs. And we as a church, we have to live within that. We have to find our a place in this place here in Millersville, Georgia for Freedom Church. Is how are we supposed to lead people that have everything? Seemingly. How are we supposed to be that shining light on the hill when it seems like that everybody's okay? So how are we supposed to find ourselves in all this? You know, people will run to things that look good. Understand? Heidi ran to me because I look really handsome, you know? She's not even here to defend herself. But the first night she saw me, when she walked through that door, she went, wow, you know? She went, woo! I saw her and she's handed me. Little did I know I saw her too. I was on the stage when she came in. But we have a tendency to run to things that look good. They look good. We see things that I like that. And we have we have that in us that we want to go to something that looks good, that seems to be really like it's got it all together. And there people run to different churches for different reasons. You know, throughout the United States, you know, because this one has good preaching, this one has good music, This one has a great children's department. This one's got a great youth department. I like the buildings and stuff. I have people says, your church looks like an old warehouse. And I always hit them right side of the head when they say that. We go to things based upon sometimes what we think we need. But it's amazing, we probably go to things because it's things that we want. And so we as a church, we have to come to the place that we have to find our place in a society where is that we're not competing in I don't want to say we're competing, but there's a way we are competing. I tell Patrick, I said, you're competing with a lot of things as a youth pastor that I didn't have to back in the mid-90s. We didn't have cell phones. They were just beginning, you know, to get come out, but most kids didn't have them yet. You know what I'm saying? And so there's different things. It seems like the church of in the United States is very rich, very wealthy, that we have money in the bank, and we know that the things are good, and people have a tendency to flock to those things. But John, in a few minutes, in Revelation chapter 3, 14 through 22, he has something to tell us today. He has something to speak to me today. To tell me today. Revelation 3, 14 through 22. It says, and to the angel of the church in Laodicea. Said that good, didn't I? The words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of God's creation. It says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you would either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have a prospered, and I need nothing. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. My goodness, that hurts my feelings. Therefore, I counsel you to buy from me a gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. And white robes to clothe you and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen. And a salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. I approve and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. To the one who conquers, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as myself I conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The church of Laodicea. It says that the words of the Amen, which means truly, that John was trying to get their attention. This is from Jesus Christ himself. These words that I'm saying to you, these words that I'm writing down, are from Jesus Christ himself. The great Amen. I remember growing up in churches, and the old timers, you know, they would have that deep Amen, you know. You know, you're in church very long. And I remember listening to those deep amens, you know. It wasn't amen. It was amen, you know. And I enjoy that. And I'm just thinking now that they were saying, truly, this is Jesus Christ. Truly, this is the truth to us. But John gets right to it. Jesus gets right to it. I know your works. And you might be saying, woo, here we go. We got it together. I know your works. I know that you got together, that you're doing what you're supposed to do, and these things are great. But let's wait for a moment. He goes right into it. Neither you're hot or cold, you are lukewarm. Many will say that this means that you're complacent, and that's part of it. It says that Jesus doesn't even want us to be cold or hot. It wasn't the fact that he would desire us to be cold, but he desires us not to be lukewarm. See the difference in that? It's not a desire that Jesus wants us to be cold. He doesn't. But he just doesn't want us to be in between. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. Say, this city here, and this is where this church was. Up to the north, it was very cold. Right to the south, it was very hot, had a lot of hot springs and things going on. And so they would have to bring their water in through an aqueduct. Not a big word, you know. And they had to bring the water in, and it was always lukewarm water. So they would understand what these words were saying to them. Because I don't like lukewarm water. I really don't. When we go to out of China, they serve us hot water. Not lukewarm, but hot, steaming water. You know it's better for your digestive system to drink hot water? Did any of you know that? That's a useless piece of... That's not useless. It's a very good thing. That's the reason Chinese people are so small, I think, because they know what about stuff is. But after about two or three, four meals of that, I looked at James. I said, I'm about to die. We said, Jenny, we need Coke. She said, sick, gotcha. And then we went right back to the American way of being useless. It's lukewarm. It doesn't taste good. It's nauseating. So the people of this church knew exactly the message. Think. Basically, it says, instead of being lukewarm, we think it means a place to see, but in reality, it just means you just don't know me at all. You just don't know me at all, is what Jesus is saying. You just don't know me. It's not that even you're even complacent. It's just that you just don't know me. You don't know anything about me. You don't understand me. You have not come to the occasion where you really understand the message that I really have. He says, it's so nauseating that it makes me want to just spit you out of my mouth. And a lot of times this is preached with a lot of condemnation and a lot of, you know, he's going to spit you out of your mouth and you better shape up, you know. I'm not here to do that. It's we come across with a condemnation, and there's some condemnation here to a certain fact on this church that says, look, you are really rich, but you really just don't know me. You just don't know me. It's either you're hot or you're cold, you're just lukewarm. But he says, but this is the way I see you. A wretched, a pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And they might be saying, but hold on, look here, haven't you seen us? We have the best of this, the best of that, the best of this, the best of that, the best of this, and the best of that, and the best of this, and the best of that. It says, we got it all. And you want to call us poor? Blind? Naked? Don't you understand we have money in the bank? Don't you understand that the best people come to our church? You say amen to that because you are. We have the best of everything. It says, I am so blessed. Our church is so blessed. And at the end of this, it says, whoever has an ear to listen... Then listen, yes, it's a message to the church in general. But he also says that every one of us that has an ear to listen, listen. And in other words, we can take this and we can look within ourselves, and we find it here again in the scripture. It says that we are blessed because we're rich. We are blessed because we have these things. We are blessed because of this and this. Once again, I have to remind us again what it means to be blessed by God. Being blessed by God, once again, has nothing to do with material things. It doesn't have anything to do with good health. You know, we say, I am blessed because I have great health. Once again, I have to say, because it's in the scripture here, talking about being blessed. If that is true, if that's being truthfully blessed, then what about your person sits on the end of the pew? That doesn't have good health. Does that mean they're not blessed? They serve God the same way you do. In other words, Jesus said again, you don't know me. You don't understand me. You think because you're rich and you got all these things, life is good. Praise God. God is showing his favor to me. I live in my life best of the day now. But in reality, he says, you don't know. What an indictment. Would you agree? Say amen if you believe that. That's an indictment on us, isn't it? And so what I'm saying to us today is that we cannot equate a blessing with our bank account. Cannot. Blessing is the presence of God. And what he is saying to them today is, you have all these things, but my presence is not found. My presence is not there. It's not there. You may say, Tim, there's something wrong with having all these things. There's nothing wrong with having all these things. I like things. They're fun. But here's the thing. In verse 17, this is hurts my heart. For you say, I am rich, and I have I'm prospered, and I need nothing. You not realize that you are wretched and pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich. And in other words, it's saying here, not knowing, I did not realize what a terrible place I'm in. It says I have become uncomfortable. Which does bring complacency in our lives. We have everything that we need. In reality, we don't understand this a suffering Christ. We don't understand this a suffering Christ. This church here didn't have a clue that his presence is working through us is rich. See, now here's the thing. This city was very beyond their time. They had things that a lot of the cities didn't have. And you might say, you know, this sounds a whole lot like something else, doesn't it? Like I said at the beginning, it sounds like United States of America, doesn't it? It really honestly does. And that's the reason I said we have to find our place in such a society that seems that seemingly has everything. Seemingly that we can meet our own needs. Now, I'm not saying that we don't work hard where needs. We have to understand where that comes from. It comes from the Lord. I'm not saying to not be thankful for the things that God has done. You know, instead of saying, oh, I am so blessed, it's best to say I'm so thankful. Because I don't want, and I've seen it through the years, I've had people in my office once again to say, you know, it says, I hear people say all the time how blessed they are. And it says, Pastor Tim, I'm striving. I am striving to live the life that God has called me to live. And it seems like I just can't get, I can't get there. So does he not bless me like he does someone else? Because we have the wrong understanding of who Jesus is and what church is about. We really do. We really have those moments in our lives that we think what is true really is not true. A lot of times we will talk about this a scripture and we will hammer. He's going to spew you out of the mouth. And that's all we leave from a sermon on this scripture usually is, oh, I better shape up because he's going to vomit me out of his mouth if I don't shape up. That's the way it has made me feel when this sermon is preached out of this scripture. Is that's all I remember is like, that mighty God up there is going to spew me out of his mouth. And that's all I often remember. I said, well, then if he is, then what do I need to do? I don't want to be spewed out of his mouth. So what needs to happen? Something needs to change. This city here, they had even created some a medicine to put on your eyes where folks could help them to see. They were even really good about making a clothing that was really ahead of their time to clothe everyone in their city. There was a time there was an earthquake And it destroyed a lot of stuff. They were so wealthy, they didn't have to go to anywhere, to another a city, or to ask anyone to help them, because they had so much money, had so much wealth, and so much riches. So in the midst of all this, as I keep saying, here's this church, and what happens here is what happens a lot of times. We allow society to bleed into the church. And the lines get blurred, and guess what happens? We start acting like society. Is we start acting just like them. That we come to the place like, you know, I got everything I need. And that's a thankful place to be. Wonderful place to be. But the problem is that we don't give out of our need. We give out of our abundance. You might say, well, what does that mean? And I'm guilty of it too. It just means it's very easy to give of my time when I have time. It's very easy to give of my finances when I have plenty. It means it's no big deal. Write a check out. Text to share. No big deal. Got it. Boom. Done. Did thing when I over by. I'm guilty of that. It goes out of my check every week. It's no big deal. Got everything I need. 10% is nothing. Boom. Pop. This is where this church was. This is where they were. It's interesting, the terminology that is used here. If you really want to see, you really want to see, you have created an eye salve to bring people to see much better. But if you really want to see it, it's that you're going to have to repent. And that word sometimes obscures us. That we have to repent. He says, because I reprove and I discipline those whom I love. Aren't you glad? I'm thankful today that Jesus Christ, my relationship with Him is that He loves me enough to convict my heart. He loves me enough to say, hey, it's time to shape up here. He loves me enough to know that He wants to teach me through out of discipline. But we have to come to the place that we have to know, and that's the problem, is a lot of times we don't know the shape that we're truthfully in. That's what we are. And this church here, that's the crux of this whole church here. Not only He's going to spew us out of His mouth, no. Is that we really don't know. I look at my life and I say, do I know? Sometimes I sit in staff meetings. I go, guys, are we missing something? I said, are we really doing what God has called us to do? Are we really a church that's really trying to live a New Testament church? I believe a New Testament church has to speak for truth, stand firm in truth, but it better have a towel in the other hand. I believe in that. I believe that's what I see a New Testament church is. I believe they should stand for truth, but you better have a towel in your other hand to meet the needs of your community. One without the other is not a biblical. And I often ask the staff, are we there? Are we doing those things? Are we doing what God has called us to do? Because I don't want to be this. I don't want to think that I got it, and I know. And I wake up one day and look back last year or 2 years ago, I thought we had it, but in reality, we didn't have it. I believe to be a New Testament church is you got to have both. You have to have both. Because out of that truth of God's Word, it should move us to live right and to serve. To live right and to serve. And so it's the not knowing that really convicts my heart. I just want to say in my own personal life, Lord, where am I? But he says these things. He says, but you're going to have to repent. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Repent. What I need to repent from? I repent from this, Lord. That I have put my wealth in the place where you need to be. I have put my gifts in where you should have been all along. It says, I have put my... Oh, this is not a problem with me. I have put my good looks in a place where you should be. Shepherd hiding. I have placed my bank account where you should have been all along. I have placed my career where everybody knows my name to where you should be. I have placed my family in so many different ways on where you should be. You know, we've gotten so rich as Christian folks that we think it's okay to run our children all over the world to hit a ball somewhere and sacrifice their whole raising to think that they're going to be something one day and realize when they graduate to 12th grade, it's over. It's done. And they miss out on a wonderful, great experience with a loving youth pastor that will love them into the kingdom, and they sacrifice it to go hit a ball where Christ should have been the whole time. There's nothing wrong with playing ball. I told one of the coaches that Janet Ray would not be here this next Wednesday night when she was running cross country or something. She looked at me and said, oh, it was on a Wednesday night. She's going to miss like 3 or 4 in a row. I said, nah, ain't happening. And I just told the coach very as humble as I could, no, she won't be here at these. I'm very sorry that I might hurt the team. She says, oh, yeah, you got to be in that church, don't you? You don't know. Has nothing to do with going to church. Has everything to do for my little girl to be in a loving community with a church body that cares for her and loves for her, where she can love her and love someone else, and be able to sit under a youth pastor that loves her. And of course, I didn't say that. After I rolled my window up, I started preaching like everything. People, I was going down the road, it says, he's either talking on the phone or he's upset or mad or hollering at his wife. I don't know what it is. But I'm getting back to this that we don't know. And Lord, if I have to repent of anything, Lord, is not knowing. By now, I should know. That's what I think the repentance here is. That I should know. I should know. I should be able to look at the life that you've lived, Lord, and see the life that I'm living now doesn't match up with what I see of you. It doesn't match up. In other words, at times I'm in sitting in with a body of believers and I'm critical of somebody on the other side, or I heard something about somebody that sits over there, or I'm hearing this or that or the other. Come on, folks, that's not Jesus. Is that we come and go even on Wednesdays and on Sundays, and we feed ourselves and we feed and feed, and we want another comforts. We want another something we can go see. And there's people who are dying all around us. You know what an ichthus is? That's a Greek word for fish. It's the symbol that you see. That the first Christians, they knew that you was Christian, they would draw it in the sand wherever they were because they were being persecuted, and they would draw it. It's called ichthus, which is fish in Greek. Sometimes when we put something on our vehicles, that symbolizes, hey, I'm Christian. I am Christian. It's a testimony to the world. And a lot of times we do things that says, come on. We can be lukewarm. And yes, the word does say, I just want to spew you out of my mouth. It says here, Jesus, he stands and he's knocking. He's knocking. He's knocking on our doors here at Freedom Church. He's knocking. And he says, if you will let me in, we're going to eat together. And you're going to experience me in a whole new way. You're going to experience me. A crystal today, experience that today. And I wonder for us that's been other Christians for a very long time, when's the last time we really experienced that moment with Jesus? Because I do believe when we repent of not knowing, the scales fall off and go, "Woo, I'm undone. I'm undone." Instead of just saying, I am blessed, saying, Lord, make me a blessing. Say, Lord, I'm thankful that right now I need not a thing. Okay, then I'm going to give some of the way. Well, maybe I might need something. Understand how it works here? Says, I don't need anything. I don't need anything. Well, maybe you need to give some of the way. Maybe I need to give some other way. That's the repentance within us as a wealthy nation, as a wealthy church. Last summer, I got my taste as a pastor for the very first time. Very first time as a pastor. Last summer was a rough summer financially for Freedom Church. We paid all our bills. Listen, a lot of you don't even realize this. Paid all our bills. Everything's paid. 1 week we had $3,000 left in our account. And for the first time as a pastor, I began to sweat a little bit. And I just believe that the Lord was saying to me in so many ways, he says, I want you to know something. I'm in control of this. It says, I'll make Freedom Church or I can break Freedom Church. Do you understand me? I was like, yes, sir. Got it. He said, you keep loving me and loving people. He said, I'll take care of you. But if you stop either one of those, you're done. You're done. It's not knowing, folks. And today, I hope we know. I hope today, I just want just to drive this home. Don't sit not knowing. Let the word of God penetrate our hearts. The Lord's laying this on my heart. He says, Tim, you say it too. You have things, you have stuff, and you feel comfortable. You feel good. You even say those things sometimes. I think you can give even more. You can serve a little bit more. There's another person that needs you. And today, as we sing this song, it's called Alive in Us, that it will be a moment that we allow the Lord just to make himself known to us. To make himself known to us. That's my prayer and that's my hope. Having riches, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm thankful that you do. I'm thankful when you write checks out or to text to share to Freedom Church. because Crystal got saved today because you were faithful. Because you were faithful. Let's continue that faithfulness unto the Lord. Can we do that? I love you very much. I want you to stand with us today. I want us to stand.
No doubt Jesus intends for us to know Him as He knows us and to live in such a way that we are a shining light to our community, a shining light to one another, and a shining light to the lost. In the coming weeks, as we continue our walk in Christian maturity, let's make sure that when Jesus asks the question about our priorities, that our priorities align with Him and with His. God bless you. Have a great week.